Greetings, this is J.R. Dickey. Thanks for tuning in to our podcast. And by the way, don't forget our website, graceandtruth.net. I hope you're having a great day, but if not, hang with me. It's about to get better. Okay, here's another foundations lesson that I hope you'll really enjoy. Let's get going. Understanding how it all began is a fundamental help to all of us in growing or maturing as a believer. For that reason, I love to ponder our beginnings. Why do we act and think the way we do? Let's consider Genesis chapter 3. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us that a creature referred to simply as a serpent, in most translations, appeared in the garden that God had made for communing with mankind. It says that he was the most cunning or crafty land animal that God had made. Interesting that this serpent could speak. And he engaged Eve, Adam's mate, with a question that baited her into a trap of sorts. Has God indeed said, "You shall not eat of every tree of the garden"? Well, the immediate implication in that was that God was being arbitrarily restrictive. So Eve tried to explain to this creature that was clearly Satan or possessed by Satan, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." At this point, the serpent could tell Eve she was in way over her head, because God had said nothing about touching the tree. Where did she get that part from? Well, perhaps Adam, in wanting to protect her, added that part on his own, because Adam got the message straight from God. But we don't know. But that's when the serpent struck. He said, "You will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So, well, there are multiple lies in this attack. First, death indeed came into our existence, just as God said. Second, he asserted that God was withholding something desirable, something God-like, to know evil. You see, the truth was that she and Adam already knew, or literally perceived, with the eye, good. Because the scripture tells us, at the conclusion of his creative work, it says, "Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good." But Eve took the bait. To be like God enticed her to disregard the warning. Well, who was first that wanted to be like God? Well, we go to Isaiah 14 and we read, "How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer," soon to be Satan, "son of the morning? How are you cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations? For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the furthest sides of the north." Get this, "I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." At that point, Eve was trapped and taken captive, so to speak. She believed the serpent's lies and decided not to believe God. She doubted him and immediately changed. It changed how she perceived the threat. Now, the Bible says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. You see, note, before she ever ate the evil fruit, she was drastically affected by the lies. Everything she saw or perceived was off. Believing the lies turned her against God's warning. Scripture says she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, the scripture tells us that Adam was not deceived. In other words, he made the decision to eat himself without the serpent's lies. And I submit that it's possible that he knew they would die, but was so connected to Eve that he did not want to live without her. Well, be that as it may, what God warned them about took place in multiple ways. First, they both died spiritually. That means that one part of their triune being, remember, they were made in the image of God, that is, their spirit detached, separated from God's spirit. You see, most literally, that's what death is, separation from God. Next, something in this vile fruit affected the perceptors in their brains. Perhaps a cerebrum or visual cortex? Who knows? At any rate, it is evident that they could no longer perceive correctly. For the scripture says, then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Now, they could see, or rather perceive, something new, evil. But more than that, as we noted, they could not perceive accurately. What was previously good was now perceived as evil. And this became the fundamental flaw in humanity. It was imprinted, if you would, into our DNA so that we are no longer independently capable of communing with or heeding our Creator. Even the Apostle Paul said, for I know that in me, this is in Romans chapter 7, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. In addition, sin immediately brought shame, which of course is based on pride, P-R-I-D-E, which is the first and most pervasive sin of mankind. Scripture continues, and they sewed fig leaves together, made themselves coverings. Ooh, wow, that had to itch. Also, it brought fear, specifically fear of God. Remember, their perceptors, hope that's a word, had become corrupted. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So this is how it all started. The single decision to stop trusting God and instead listen to Satan enslaved all of us since that time. It brought spiritual blindness. You know, we're not even aware of the evil one's influence most of the time. Shame, pride, fear, and later, hatred, envy, and more as mankind tumbled downward and downward. One man and his mate brought us from the paradise of Eden into the hell of what I call planet Babylon. He was created perfect, no sin. But just like Lucifer, he had free will, and his choice was calamitous. The good news is that one man, the Son of Man, also perfect, used his free will to choose to trust and obey God. And he redeemed all of creation. And it cost him his life. But with it, he covered or atoned for our sin. This too is pictured in the beginning, for the scripture says, also for Adam and his wife, the Lord made tunics of skin and clothed them. Those tunics, those coverings, cost an animal its life, the Lamb of God. Of course, we individually, because we all have free will, have to choose whether or not to believe and accept that. You see, Calvary was never an issue of crisis management for God. It was in the plan from the beginning, even before the beginning. Because the Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, therefore do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. This is Paul writing, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed in the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, Jesus restored our sight. Now, who do you trust? The serpent, yourself, or the Son of God? Now may the Lord grant you peace in the midst of any storm and faith to trust him. Look for our next podcast, and may you realize more of his grace today.